Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our program this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time when we will open the pages up of God's wonderful Word, the Bible. If you have any questions, please send them to us, and we'll be more than happy to answer them. We also encourage you to attend our worship services. You'll be given the times of our meeting at the end of this broadcast. We cordially invite you to any or all of those services. We also ask you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Last week, we began looking at the subject of hinged on the cross, and we looked at four things that were hinged on the cross of Christ. Last week, we discussed the promises of God, the types and shadows of the old law, the end of the law, and man's redemption. This week, we would like to conclude these thoughts by looking at four other aspects that were hinged on the cross. Now remember, the word hinge means a point or circumstance on which subsequent events depend. Because of the death of Christ, other things were hinged on the death of Christ occurring. Let's begin by looking at Christ's death hinges on our death. When we come to this side of Calvary, we see the death of our Lord and our death to the enemy, to our soul, sin, are both hinged on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man one might die, dare to die. But God demonstrates His love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having then been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in His life." You see, God's sacrifice of His Son provided our reconciliation and atonement. But this is hinged to His death on the cross for the world. How? He accepted the role of sinful man and willingly took our place on the cross, where we deserve to die because of our sins. He became sin for us, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He tasted death for every man, according to Hebrews 2 and verse 9. This was done to give blessings to us, which we could never have reached by our own works and our own life. Also hinged on the cross is our own death, our death to sin and all of its pleasures and all of its allurements. Please read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Paul again tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That means to put them to death, according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. All this shows us that we must crucify the old man of sin, that a new man may take up residence and live in Christ. And this death is hinged on the cross and His death that He did there. Why? Through His blood, we become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Next, consider His burial and ours is hinged on the cross. The burial of Christ is, of course, hinged upon the cross of Christ. He must first die to be buried. That is validated in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Is not our death to sin shown by our burial in the watery grave of baptism? In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, we read, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Is not our obedience to His commandments and reenactment of our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection? This cross made it possible. It is spiritual circumcision, Colossians 2 and verse 12. One is baptized with faith in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, and will also raise us to walk in newness of life in Him. Thus our obedience is hinged on the cross in that we must die to our past sins, be buried in the baptism for them, and then be raised to lead a new and different life in Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 9. Why do we believe that being buried in water will change our lives? It is where one contacts that which has the power to take away the stain of our sin and the condemnation of our sin, and that is the blood of our Savior. You see, our burial to sin is hinged on the cross. We die to sin, we're buried in water, we arise to walk in newness of life. We parallel the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection on the third day. This leads us to our next point of hinged on the cross, and that is the hope of our resurrection. Had it not been for the death of Jesus on the cross, Jesus would not have been buried, and neither would he have been raised. Thus, the resurrection of Christ and the hope of our own resurrection is hinged on the cross. Paul makes this argument in his first letter to the Church of Corinth in his masterpiece on the resurrection and the need of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would we have a Savior without his resurrection? This declared him to be the Son of God with power, according to Romans 1 and verse 4. Is not that resurrection tied to our own hope of overcoming the grave on that final day? Could man have the assurance of his overcoming the grave without Christ overcoming the grave? Never, according to Romans 4, verse 24 and 25. Thus, both resurrections are tied to that cross. The hope of our resurrection is hinged on the resurrection of Christ that took place after his death upon the cross. As Christ was buried and rose again, so our obedience is that form of doctrine which we obeyed by our faithful adherence to the gospel. Our whole pattern of obedience is tied to us leaving the old life behind and beginning a new life in him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. Is not our hope for a better life hinged on that cross? Without that cross, we would have no hope of resurrection, for it is by the resurrection of Christ that he was able to give the blood as a divine remedy for sin, thus freeing us from the bondage of sin. Please read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 through 28, that tells us that Jesus appeared before the Father to offer the blood that he gave upon the cross of Christ. And by the blood shed on Calvary, that payment and that divine ransom was accepted by the Father, and now man had a divine remedy for sin. And by his resurrection, he was able to offer that blood. It was accepted by his Father, and now man has a divine remedy, and he's been ransomed from sin. You see, the hope of the resurrection, our resurrection, is hinged on the cross. Last, but certainly not least, another thing that is hinged on the cross is our hope of eternal life. What did the Hebrew writer tell us in Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9? He told us that he is the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. Through his death on the cross, he gave gifts unto men, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 8. What is chief among these gifts? Besides the hold of death that Satan had over man is now no longer possible. Of course, it must be eternal life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. At the cross, he made it not only possible, but he made it a reality, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 24 and 25. Hinged on to that cross is also our life, totally dedicated to his way of life and a hope for heaven when we die. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1 through 4, Paul speaks of this change of life. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ also, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for that eternal glory that will be given to us as his faithful children, for our dedication and commitment and obedience to him, but made possible by the grace of Christ, by his mercy, by his long-suffering, and by the blood that he shed on the cross of Christ. God's grace and compassion are forever put in our memory by the events of the cross of Christ. It must be the motivation of a dedicated and consecrated life in sacrificial service to our Master, not to earn our salvation, not to merit it, but simply to demonstrate our willingness to be an obedient servant. In Luke chapter 17 and verse number 10, we don't do it because we earn it. We don't do it because we merit it. We do it because we are being faithful servants and doing what our duty is to do. May we be able to understand very clearly the words of the Apostle Paul written in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creation. You see, we are a new creation. Why? Because we've been bought with the blood of Christ. You see, our hope of eternal life, our hope that one day we will be with our Father and with His Son in heaven forever and ever, is hinged on the events of the cross of Christ. It is by His death that eternal life is now available to all those who desire it. Yes, eternal life is hinged upon the cross. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we've examined 8 things that are hinged on the events that took place on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Every promise of God that was made in the Old or the New Testament has been hinged on the cross. The types and shadows of the things that were done and commanded by those under the old economy were types and shadows of things that were hinged on the cross and therefore thus became reality by His death. The end of the law is hinged on the cross. The law of Moses came to an end with Christ's death upon the cross. Man's redemption, being freed from the bondage of sin, is tied to the events on the cross. Christ's death and ours, our death to sin, and His death are both hinged on the cross of Christ. We can die to sin. We no longer have to be under its bondage because of the death of Christ. Our burial in a watery grave will make us be able to die to sin. And our dying to sin was made possible because Jesus died on that cross. And because of His death on that cross and His resurrection from the dead to send back His Father, we have the hope of a coming out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, to live a different type of life, to be new in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. And last but not least, our hope of everlasting life, our hope of being with God forever and ever in His home, with His Son, and with the saved of all ages, is hinged upon the events of the cross. Why? Because without the death of Christ upon the cross, we would have no remedy for sin. We would have no way in order to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because without the blood of Christ, it would be a futile exercise. It is by the blood of Christ and by the grace, therefore expressed and given, and the long-suffering and the love of God, that man has the opportunity and the privilege of having a home in heaven in the after while. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the cross of Christ. So many things hinged upon the events of Calvary. Yet, God planned it that way before the foundation of the world. The centerpiece of God's plan were the events of Calvary. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to the cross of Christ. Everything after the day of Pentecost points back to the events on the cross. Yes, hinged on the cross, thanks be to God, that we have life in Christ and hope of heaven and every good promise that God has made us. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.